Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
I want you to look at a scripture. Today's message would be the Epic Colossians. The Epic Colossians will be the title of my message today. We've had I hope you did. Susie and I had a very good Thanksgiving with down to Vero Beach and Sebastian, and spent time with her family, and my dad was there. And then we spent some time with some personal friends that we've had for a long, long time. And, as you try to prepare to hear what God is saying to the local body, you know, it is kind of, you know, you are the pastor, you should have a message. And I've got to tell you that last night at Saturday Night Live, during worship, God spoke to me and kind of brought what I'm going to bring you today into a little more perspective. But I want you to read Daniel chapter. I'm just going to read the scripture. I'm taking it completely out of the contents, because Daniel chapter 11, verse 32 says, "Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits." That is a kind of a verse in the middle of basically all hell's going to break loose. If you've been a Christian for long, you'll figure it out that if you don't know God, you're in trouble. Okay, there's a devil out there trying to destroy the body of Christ. And that scripture says, shall corrupt with flattery. And flattery is one of the tools of the enemy to make you feel like you're okay. And you could be okay, but actually not know God. People's flattery can put you into a place of security that is in you and not him. And this scripture was given to me by Lainey Bishop. She has this whole thing, and that's her favorite scripture, but that one jumped out. "Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits." Miss Karen, would you come please and share what God showed you about the word epic? Then I'm going to preach like a man on fire. I'll get my coffee and I'll get out of your way.
Okay. A little over a month ago, the Lord dropped that word epic into my spirit, and I didn't know what to do with it. I just kind of sat on it and meditated on it, and every time I did, he gave me a little bit more. And when I felt like I had enough of what he was saying, I spoke to Pastor Charlie on Wednesday night after service, and I said, I believe I have a word for the church, so I'd like to share it with you. The first thing I want to do is kind of tell you, I know that he's gotten from a different source, but I'm going to just tell you what the word epic means. It means a long poem, typically one derived from ancient or oral tradition, narrating the deeds and adventures of heroic or legendary figures in history. So I want to read you an epic from Revelation chapter 15. It's verses 3, a little bit of 3 and 4. It says, this is about what's going on around the throne. "They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you. So this is what the Lord was sharing with me. I feel like he said to me that he will do something epic, as in the days of old, when he showed himself as the fire by day and the cloud by night. The signs, the wonders, and miracles he performed for the world to see how powerful he was. The things I did and the way I showed myself to the people of the earth in times past is coming again. And the world will write new stories about me, new legends, and new songs. I'm about to move in an epic way upon individuals, families, churches, and communities, and even countries. But I believe he's saying to us that as I move upon you, each person here at Identity Church, in your secret place and in your open place, I am giving you the opportunity to write an epic of your own.
Come on.
Your story concerning you and me. One that will be read for generations to come, even as the Song of Moses. One that will explore the power of your relationship with me. And one that will be a testimony of who you are in me and who I am in you. And I believe we're turning a corner. The ship is turning, as Pastor Charlie has said. And God is going to put many opportunities in front of us as people, as ministries, as a church, that we might write an epic story about him and us. Amen.
The epic Colossians. Colossians 1. You got to realize, let me read something here. The Colossians, the book of Colossians was penned in AD 61. 61 years after the death of Jesus Christ, when the book of Colossians was written. And in the midst of that's a generation and a half. 40 years is a generation. 61 years later. So a generation and a half. This is what one of the personal application portions is. Because of this is an age of religious pluralism. And all right, I can't pronounce the word, so here's what you do. You do this.
Syncretism.
Syncretism. That is the diluting of truth for the sake of unity. See, the body of Christ has been diluting the truth for the sake of unity, and wonder why we don't have unity. That's a good word, right? I can finish right there. Syncretism. Isn't that good? I'm learning something every day. Christ's lordship is deemed irrelevant by many religious groups that believe one religion is as good as the other. His prominence is denied by others that place the Christian stamp upon a fusion of beliefs from every religion. Usually hailed as an advance beyond apostolic Christianity, this blend promises self-fulfillment and freedom without surrender to Jesus Christ. Jesus is Lord is the church's earliest confession. It remains the abiding test of authentic Christianity. Neither the church nor the individual believer can afford to compromise Christ's deity. In his sovereignty lies his sufficiency. He will be Lord of everything or Lord of nothing. I'm telling you, if we're going to have an epic church, we better figure out, do we know our God? Have you joined to an organization who claims it and you personally don't know it? I spent the last few days in Vero Beach, my hometown, with one of my oldest friends. I mean, we We knew each other in fourth and fifth grade. I beat him up a couple times. He dated one of my girlfriends. Told him it wouldn't work. She knows what a real man is. We had race cars. We had motorcycles. We were competitive. They called him Big Mouth. They called him Big Mouth.
That's what they called you, right?
But him and his wife went and got saved. We lived in the same neighborhood. They fell in love with Jesus. And as they would be dressed to go to church, me and Susie would load up the boat or the jet skis or some new toy. We'd drive by him, and we wouldn't even look at him. I was under so much conviction at the time. He was a UPS driver, and he used to come into my lighting store and eat lunch and say, "How can you live the way you're living knowing the truth that you know?" And I got to where I hated this guy. I hated him. I was under so much conviction. But he was a longtime friend, but he lived in my neighborhood. And we had always been competitive, and this was irritating me. Well, not too many years ago, I told Susie I wanted an igloo cooler. You know, like the old one I used to have. And I couldn't find that size igloo cooler, so I got one. It was the same thing, except it was big. And she called it, "Just take your big ass cooler." It was so big, it wasn't a personal cooler. It was big enough to be a corporate cooler, but I remember when it was this size. Now that's a personal cooler. See, I know the way this works is very good. I like it. It has a button on it. And now there's a prophetic word and love in there. Woo-hoo! Somebody brought me this morning, unbeknownst that I needed this. Wow, there's a whole prophecy in there. We'll talk about that later. But he would come to my store with his igloo cooler and share with me what God was doing in his life. And it got to the point where I was miserable. He would say to his wife, "We need to pray for Charlie and Susie. They're about to get divorced." And his wife would go, "I think she should leave that idiot." Her and Susie had become friends, and I was the enemy. But then one night I had an encounter with Jesus, and everything changed. Here we are 25 years later. Tim and I are hanging out, and he's got his race car back together. When I say race car, I'm talking 8 second quarter of a mile, 850 horse, street legal. And so I haven't ridden in that thing in 8-9 years. And it's in the garage. And there was just this competition between him and I. It's healthy. He just bought his wife a 2014 white Jeep Grand Cherokee. My wife has a 2015 white Jeep Cherokee. And he says the most irritating things to me. "Oh, mine has dual exhaust. Mine has 6 more horsepower than yours." I'm like, "Really?" So I come home to look at my 2017 Greek charity, and doggone it, it doesn't have dual exhaust. And so we're back and forth, but realize my 2017 has 5 more horsepower than his. This is all healthy. I may spend a couple $1,000 to outrun him, but it's healthy. What am I saying? What I'm saying is Jesus sent them out 2 by 2. See, it was healthy when Susie had left me And I'd fall in love with Jesus. It was healthy when him and I walked every night around the block praying for my marriage. It was healthy when I had no one that believed in me but him. I had someone to run with, someone to walk with, someone to believe with. And then the day come when God was moving me from Vero Beach over to here, and they were upset. And Lainey got a scripture out of Hebrews that I needed to go to the land of my inheritance. So this weekend, I'm like, you going to give me a ride in this thing? And he goes, no, it's late. It's 9:30. Are we that old? I mean, it's 9:30 at night. I'm thinking, oh my God, have we gotten old? I mean, we used to terrorize that community to wee hours of the morning. And I don't know if the roads are real dry. I'm like, what a punk. So the next day, the next night, he knew it was either this or I was going to just steal it. And he went somewhere in the morning to go run, and I'm opening the hood, and I open the trunk, and in the trunk, I see the car cover, but then I see this black bag, and in this black bag, I see it, and I think it's a parachute. Because I haven't been into car stuff that much. And I think once you drop down into 8 seconds, you got to have a parachute. I don't know. I thought it was a parachute. And so I put it on Facebook. The problem is I tagged him on it, and he has some friends that knew it wasn't a parachute. And he's going, you're an idiot. You just got me in trouble with all the real motorheads. It wasn't a parachute. It was a fire suit that he wears when he goes to the track. I'm going somewhere with all this. So Saturday or Friday, we go on the boat. We go from Vero Beach down to Sebastian. It's cold. It's freezing cold. The women are like, I'm like, oh, now you want to hug me. And we go to dinner, and so because it's cold, we tell the wife, hey, do you want us to get you an Uber? And we'll just come back and we'll just fly. He never ran his boat wide open. I've never known him not to run his boat wide open. But we had the women with us, and they were chilly. And I'm thinking, if we could send them back to the car in the Uber, we could fly back. Why? Because that's how motorheads think. And he's nuts. And I don't care what he has. It runs to the top of its ability. So I'm like, okay, we're old. We're just getting old. We're older than we used to be. So we go out into the Saturday night or Friday night. We go out in his car. And without nitrous, it's 11 seconds. It's a beast. I don't know if you saw the pictures with that thing pulling a wheel stand. It runs. I remember this car from high school. By the way, my car used to outrun his car in high school. I had a station wagon that outran that 1963 Plymouth Savoy. Oyster, ugly color. Now it's green. See, he still has it, and it's worth $100,000. Mine are dead and gone. I had to choose between my car and my wife. I missed my car. I love my wife, but I missed my car. Absolutely. Now listen. Here's the thing.
He's going somewhere.
Here's the thing. We go down Indian River Boulevard, and he jumps on it. And I mean, 100 miles an hour, like, forget about it. And he didn't have the nitrous on, and so he gets up and goes up the bridge, and he's whoo, and he thinks somebody's sitting at the top of the bridge. Well, all of a sudden we don't want to get tickets at our age. We didn't used to care. It wasn't our focus. So we go over to the beach side, and my first thought was, wow, do you remember when we stole your brother's Roadrunner and terrorized that whole section between there and the moorings? And my brain went there. But then he's like, well, I don't want to get a ticket. I'm like, man, do you remember what we used to do? What we had fun with? I mean, we used to tear up the streets. So he turns around and he jumps all over it. He comes back over the bridge. Then he pulls over and he gets out of the car. Now listen, this car isn't the same car. It's the same car, but there's things in it now. There's a roll cage in it. And I'm 58, and I don't climb over roll cages anymore. I'm thinking, I am never getting in this thing. If I can get out of here, I'll never get in it again. You can't get it. And he's a little, he's not pudgy like me. He's like, pim, 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 pim. And he goes and he turns the nitrous bottles on. What does that mean to the average person? It means an additional 250 horsepower. It wasn't bad without the nitrous. And so he turns the nitrous on and he explains, well, I have the same two-stage I had in high school. What does that mean? Well, when I hit the throttles, it comes to the floor, the nitrous kicks on, then I have the profogger on the and he's got all these belts, and I mean, he's got a lot of money in that car. So we mess around and take off, and it doesn't explode like it did 8 years ago. Man, when he had turned the nitrous on, that thing looked like a bomb going off, and it's like, and it didn't do that. Being a perfectionist, that bothered him. Being a perfectionist, that bothered him, because he was actually trying to impress me. I mean, it's fast, don't get me wrong. And so, it was bugging him. And so we get into the hot tub with the girls and hang out and do all that, and he's like, you know what, I think there's a problem with my nitrous bottles. He says, those nitrous bottles are 25 years old. He says, and I think the inside of the nitrous bottles, some of the shavings is coming out of it, and it's clogging up the screen and not letting the flow. See, when he said that, I was like, Years ago, when he got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and he stood up in front of a group of men, and the pastor says, Tim, describe what happened when you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He says, it's like a car without nitrous and then getting nitrous. He says, I have extra power. I have extra insight. I have extra abilities. He says, Holy Ghost is nitrous. And now we're 50 plus now, and our screens have gotten clogged. Apostle Paul says to the Colossians in verse 9, and so from the day we heard that you have ceased, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. This is the Apostle Paul praying over the Colossians that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will, with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Ron, how many people got the baptism of the Holy Ghost last night? We have some youth last night, six, that got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They're being filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Verse 10, so as to walk in a manner worthy, break that down, in a manner of becoming, of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Bearing fruit. That goes to John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Verse 3, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Louis said it last night, if it's in the vine, then it's in you. If it's not in the vine, it's not in you. Listen, the gospel that he was preaching to the Colossians, he was saying, listen, there's one true God. There's one true way. And he's dealing with a body that is dealing with mixture. The Church of America, we have wanted unity to the point of we're watering down. Yep. what we're attached to. He's dealing with these things. Verse 11, he says, be strengthened with all power, with nitrous, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. I love people who have power, but then they're mean. I love people who have power, but they're intolerant, and they're snippy, and they're nasty. And I'm not looking at my wife right now. What good is your power if it's coming from your broken emotions versus the power that's coming from the Holy Ghost? Amen. Here's what he's saying. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. God is light. Listen, the Father is saying, you're my son. I'm inviting you to share with me the inheritance of the saints of light. God is light. He's wanting to share his light with you as we share it with others. See, Tim Bishop used to come as a UPS man into my store, and he ate his lunch, and he had a personal cooler. Listen, he had a personal cooler that drove me nuts. This was his personal walk with God. Listen, he was strategic on where I'm at today. And he looks at me because I have a big cooler now. He looks at me because I'm doing more ministry. He looks to me because I sit on the platforms of churches and I go into regions. And he feels less than. But I hung around him for 2 days, and on Saturday we went to get a haircut. He got a haircut. I didn't. We walked into place and the owner goes, hey, Charlie, how you doing? I'm like, man, I hadn't seen this guy in 30 years. On the way there, he says, oh, we're going to Sheldon Lewis's. I'm like, man, I remember him. Yeah. He goes, man, he remembers you. He told me the other day about you and Susie getting divorced and how Jesus walked through the wall. He said, he told me your whole story. So we walk in there and Tim gets his hair cut. He asked me to get a haircut. I said, no. I have somebody who does my hair. She doesn't charge me. You'd charge me. Then I walked out and I noticed that he didn't charge Tim either. I said, Tim, you didn't pay. And he goes, no, I never pay. I said, why? He said, he honors me. He loves me. He says, do you remember they were talking about this guy's a motorhead? And he looks to Tim for help. He looks to Tim to help him with the motors. And they're both brothers in Christ. But he carries a personal lunchbox. And sometimes we think, because my cooler's bigger than him, that it's better than him. And I'm thinking, my gosh, I got a big cooler and I do a lot of ministry. And he's got a little one, he still gets free haircuts.
He gets to walk in and get a free haircut. You have to make an appointment.
Oh, be nice. And what she's saying is, I should have done that last week and I didn't. Let's go ahead and let's get it out there. You feel better now? Verse 13. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred to cause a change of position, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. Redemption is procured by the payment of a ransom. You know, he paid that for you. He paid the ransom for you. He paid it in its entirety. There's not another interest payment. And God is tired of us paying interest on something he paid for in full. We pay for it with our double-mindedness. We pay for it. Listen, Kathy Welton and I have dealt with something prophetically, didn't realize how much we were. I have a brother who I spoke to, and I said, God won't let you come to the tree of life. He won't let you eat from the tree of life. And it bugged him. It bugged me. I didn't know what it really why. She's been praying for him. And she tells me, I don't know why. I've been up tonight and I'm bringing him to the tree of life. I can't get him to eat. What she doesn't know is I saw that on the tree of life, a branch hanging on the tree of life, he had hung a hangman's noose. God will not let you eat from the tree of life and let you put a hangman's noose on him. When you're double-minded and you don't know what he's paid for you, he won't even let you eat what you need. You got to get your mind right. You got to get the divinity right. There is one way. It's Jesus Christ. There is only one way. He is the light. He is the truth. And he is the life. There is no other way. And we're looking for unity, but we're watering down who he is. The word forgiveness is remission, pardon, release, and freedom. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. He's transferred us to the kingdom of Christ. I said to Ron, I need a running mate, man. I need someone to run with. Iron sharpens iron, but most of us don't like the sparks. If you're afraid of the sparks, then you're afraid of being sharp. Last night, laying in bed, the Lord says, you need to repent for that. I'm tired of hearing it from you. Oh, I'm a prophet. I'm a regional guy. I do this, I do that. And then you always hear me go, but I'm really weak on personal prophecy. How many times have you ever heard me say that? All right, well, listen, I repented. I agree. He says, you know why you're weak on personal prophecy? Because you're so concerned about the big lunch pail, the big cooler. If you get back carrying the small cooler and care about the individual, I will write the epic letters about you. Quit focusing on doing the big things and love the individuals. So much of the time I see somebody and I hear it, I smell and I know what God says and I take it to prayer. But I don't really want to give it to you in a word form because then you're going to probably ask me a question and want me to explain everything. I ain't got time for it. Yeah. Go talk to Jesus. I'm telling you, this is a personal gospel. Daniel 11. Those who know their God will do great exploits. When all hell breaks loose, if you don't know him, you won't do great exploits. That's the personal gospel. So what does an epic letter about Charlie Coker look like? I don't know, God. The gospel according to Charlie starts with a small cooler, a personal cooler. You need your own oil. I might need to protect my personal oil. If I don't let the Holy Spirit take that air hose and blow back through the screen, and unclog the nitrous in me, unclog the power in me, purify the filters of my understanding. I won't have the power that Paul prayed. He says, you have all power, all knowledge. Oh, we can flatter each other by, yeah, I had Jesus sit in my car and talk to me. Yeah. That was 11 years ago. Are you kidding me? I laid hands on the sick and they've recovered. That was 8 years ago. Oh, I've had some stuff. I've produced fruit. That's not it. But that isn't what I'm looking for. But it starts with the personal walk. Tim Bishop, in God's eyes, is equal to me in his personal walk. He's not going to be held accountable for what I do in New York or regions. He's only held accountable to be the big mouth bishop he is and provoke these guys in the racing community on how to build race cars, how to set up nitrous systems, and he always talks about Jesus. I'm not accountable for that, although I do want to ride in his car. And my car is faster than his wife's, I think. He might have already took the motor out and put a new one in. I'm not afraid of competition when it comes to knowing him. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, including race cars, and increasing in the knowledge of God. What a prayer. Strengthen with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son, of his love. Stand to your feet. Some of you have noticed that I'm turning the ship. I'm coming to the conclusion that my calling and my mandate is to raise people that know their God. I was to take communion this morning, and the Holy Spirit said to me, he says, have Cole come serve you communion. What he was saying was, pull a demand of the priest inside of him to serve you communion. We got through it, but we stuttered in areas we shouldn't. Why? Somehow I haven't trained him. It won't be too long. You'll serve the whole body communion. We're getting 5 and 6 youth filled with the Holy Ghost. We may be serving them. What are we going to do when they come in and they need deliverance? Are we ready? What do they do when they come in, when they need someone to believe in them? What are we going to do when God puts his finger on them and says, there's an 11th hour worker. Well, look at the exploits. Look at the greatness. Look at the might on them. And they don't have the foundation of stability. Are we going to cover them while they learn it? What's in your cooler? I didn't say wallet. I said cooler. What's in your cooler? Is it personal enough? See, my friend feels less than. But he used to go to my dad's house and pray with my dad before he went to my lighting store and had lunch. I was mean. I didn't want him around. I was mean. And him and my dad would pray. And then he would drive to the highlighter and walk in with his little personal cooler. Talk to me and love me when I did not want him around. And he'd tell my dad, Mr. Coker, he hates me. My dad goes, yeah, he's not real happy with me either. My dad would say, Tim, right now you're the only one who has access to him. And my dad would pray with him and send him day after day with his personal cooler. Who has God put you involved with? I don't care if they like you, hate you. Who has God said you will influence them? Who did you quit because they were too mean or too rough or too religious? What does your gospel look like? Anthony, when was the last time you laid hands on someone in a wheelchair and they got up? Too long. We could sit back and talk about how beautiful it was in our backslidden condition. I didn't mean that personally. That's what flattery does. I want to hear some current victories. I want to see some current salvations. I want to see some now healings. Louis prayed for my shoulder last night with a now word, with a now conviction. And I'm going, is it working? I don't know. I'm not working. Should I cancel my appointment today with my masseuse and all that? No, I'm still going to get my masseuse. We're supposed to be a house of miracles. Yes, we're supposed to be a house of prophetic. Yeah. An unsaved person should not walk in this place and walk out the same. Yeah. Not because I picked them up, but because you picked them up.
Yes.
We sat over there. Ron sucked me into the youth door last night. I got more prophecy out of them. Listen, they gave me words that God had talked to me yesterday about. Some very specific words. Same words. I'm thinking, oh my Lord, there's an army here. I'm scared. I don't do kids. Is your nitrous filter clogged? How many heard the Andy Allen's Pray in Tongues 30 minutes? How many have actually done it? I did it twice. Is that another formula? Or is it a conviction? How many know that the Apostle Paul was praying over the Colossians, but it's the Holy Spirit praying over you today. All power, all knowledge, all understanding. Put your hand over your heart. Father God, I thank you for what you're doing in this house. I thank you for what you're doing in me. I thank you for what you're doing in my friends. God, I'm asking for the gospel according to Charlie to come to the forefront with power, understanding, knowledge, with joy and patience. God, I ask every individual under the sound of my voice to receive the impartation of the Apostle Paul's prayer, released by the Holy Spirit, that he prayed it, you've anointed it, and everything he said is available to us. Let our personal cooler, our personal lunchbox, be filled with you. The corporate will come together, and they will write an epic letter about us, an epic poem about us, individually and corporately. But Lord, only you can write that. So I'm asking you to write the personal invitation on the heart of every individual. I'm asking for dreams and visions to start coming back to the forefront. And Lord, disconnect what needs to be disconnected. By your Holy Spirit, blow air back through the screens that are clogged, the filters that have been clogged by life and not you. Teach us to love each other. Let us have unity in you, God, not vain philosophies. Lord, I don't want a watered-down version of you. God, I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for new souls coming to the revelation of how much you love them. You know, when you start walking with the Lord, you start looking and examining everything. Some people go, oh, you're so spiritually minded. We have a bear that is loose in our neighborhood. He's not loose. He just likes to show up.
We're in his neighborhood.
Susie told me that she read one of our neighbors was sitting on their back porch drinking a cup of coffee or something in their robe, and a bear came up and just smelled them. I'm like, wow. We had an animal, we think it's a bear, that tried to crawl over our back fence and broke part of the top of the fence. So my question is, what would you do if he got in my fence? Could I do great exploits like David? No, I could be Elijah and run for 40 days. And I was just this morning thinking about Susie telling me that the sparrow walks up and smells the person. What does he smell on you when the enemy comes and smells? What does he see when he pulls and looks over the top of your fence? He pulls part of your fence down to see what's in there. Don't think the Lord won't let a bear come around just to see if you're awake, just to see if the flattery has made you comfortable and you really don't know your God. It's amazing how spiritual we get when all hell breaks loose. So maybe all hell breaks loose to make us spiritual. I realized I was successful when the guy cutting his hair said to me, I remember when your marriage was hopeless. Now you've been pastoring. You've been serving God all these years. What's in your lunchbox? And I'm telling you, when we figure this out, the other stuff will become epic. God will make it epic. He'll start ringing the dinner bell of the gospel among a group of people who pack a personal cooler. I hope this made sense today. I'm sharing my heart with everything I got. But if we're going to do church as normal, I'm going to go do it at the barbershop. We're not. We're called to greater things. We're called to raise warriors, lovers of God. We've never done normal church here. Now that I'm taking away some things that have become normal, some of you are not normal. But God's changing things. God will not lay life on top of something that's not dead. It's 202. Go and sin no more.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net,
where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.